It's 88.5 with Nick Harcourt, and I'm happy to say in studio with us this morning, it's Keane. Keane, welcome.
Morning.
Good to see you guys again. It's been a little while in between records, although there's been plenty of other stuff going on that we're going to definitely catch up with. And I know, Tom, I think we spoke on the solo record a year or two ago as well. But why don't we hear a couple of songs and then we'll catch up with what's been going on with Keane. The new album actually comes out in September on the 20th. It'll be called Cause and Effect. But we're going to play a few songs first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they said you were a bright child, never anything but joy behind your eyes. No sign of all the dark clouds spreading like volcanic dust over your blue skies. Now they're looking for an answer where the rot set in and set up the landslide. But it only makes it worse now. You're like a puzzle to be worked out, and it's the voices in your head now saying there's something wrong about the way I feel. A broken link, a missing part, a punctured wheel, and it's not what you expected. The way the world you build loves to cut you down, the way your head gets twisted, and you sit up all night. Your shoes on, and it's the voices in your head now saying there's something wrong about the way I feel. A broken link, a missing part, a punctured wheel. It doesn't matter what you say now, it's like
song from our debut album, Hopes and Fears. We're going to play a song called Somewhere Only We Know.
Across an empty land, I knew the pathway like the back of my hand. I felt the earth my feet, sat by the river and it made me complete. Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me where you're gonna let me in. I'm getting tired and I need somewhere to begin. I came across a fallen tree. I felt the branches, are they looking at me? Is this the place we used to love? Is this the place that I've been?
It's 88.5, Nick Harcourt, your host, Keen Live in studio. And as you mentioned, Tom, that was from the first full-length album, which came out back in 2004, I think, right?
Yeah.
Sound about right?
A long time ago now.
And we were talking when we meet up. It seems like every couple of years I meet you guys and we're like, oh, when was the last time I met you? And nobody can actually remember. But I do remember the first time I heard your music, which was back in 2003, I think, when your manager or one of your managers, Adam, walked the Fierce Panda single in for what was that first Fierce Panda single?
Everybody's Changing.
Yeah, and he walked it into the old place I used to work down there in Santa Monica, and we fell in love with it straight away. Oh. And I'm guessing shortly after that was probably the first time I met you guys. So through the years, we catch up once in a while, and nobody remembers what happened. But what we do know is that there is a new album coming in a couple of months, September 20th. Yeah. And actually not that long away, 5 or 6 weeks away. And it's the first one in 7 years. So we got a little history to catch up on. And Tom, I know that I saw you somewhere on one of the solo albums. And I think that that's a good place to start, obviously, because Keen, Tim, if it's fair to say, I think that you'd sort of gone through making albums with Tom singing the songs that you were writing, and at some point Tom decided you wanted to do your own thing. So is that when the band decided to take a break?
Yeah, that was the primary reason. I mean, I think back when we began as teenagers, we all contributed songs, maybe with the exception of Richard.
I don't know. I did a couple of lines in a song that Tim helped me with once, but it was terrible.
In Debbie's,
in Debbie's room. Yeah.
Classic. But yeah, I mean, you know, songwriting was a pretty integral part of my life for quite a long time. And then sort of pre-Hopes and Fears, Tim started writing all these unbelievable songs. I mean, they were just a whole different level. And so, yeah, I kind of felt and also at the same time, my voice kind of took on a new kind of timbre and, you know, quality that it hadn't had before. And the sort of combination of those two things sort of shaped the dynamic of what Keen then became, Tim's songs and my voice and, you know, the sound of the piano and all of that stuff sort of happened at around the same time. And I think I just neglected that part of me, that sort of songwriting creative part. And I think over the years, gradually, I felt like, you know, I needed to give it another try. And that was, you know, the main motivation for wanting to step away for me.
I'm going to jump back to Tim in a moment, but let's just sort of finish up on that, because I know that you also were experiencing a lot of changes in your life around about the same time as well, which you've shared quite openly. And I think last time we spoke, we talked about alcoholism, because alcoholism is something that affects a lot of people. I've got my own experiences with it. And for you, you really needed to sort of sort yourself out for a minute there, didn't you? And did the solo stuff help you get through that?
Well, funnily enough, I also think one of the other reasons, that it was more of an unconscious reason to step away from Keen, was that I knew I had some work left to do in terms of my drug and drink career, you know. And I think it was a lot of pressure to put on the other guys to keep kind of being unreliable. So that definitely played a part. I don't think I was consciously thinking, you know, at the time, that's the main reason I'm going to step away. But
it happened nevertheless.
It did, exactly. It really happened more kind of acutely than ever before at that point. My daughter was born at the same time. So it was this kind of whole melee of things that happened at the same time. And yeah, so in fact, as it turned out, my solo album became the story of coming out of that very dark place.
So while you were away doing that, then clearly, Tim, you must have been doing something. And I know that there was a solo project that came, a side project, I guess, that came out last year, right? With Jesse, you guys did Mount Desolation.
Yeah.
Why now? Why is Keen back together with a whole new batch of songs? I know you've gone through your own changes, because, you know, if we're fortunate and we live long enough, we evolve and, you know, things happen to us and we become more interesting. But
that's a nice way of putting it, by the way. It's a very generous way of describing some of
like
the chaos.
Like a patina.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we're aging gracefully or something, I don't know.
Yeah, ungracefully. But, tell us a little bit about what was going on with you, and obviously why now. Obviously, you can probably both speak to that, but from the point of view of the songs that you've written for this album.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I suppose, around the time that we stopped touring pretty much. You know, my marriage really hit the rocks as well, which is quite you know, quite difficult in terms of timing, I suppose.
There's never going to be a perfect time for that.
No, yeah, I should have scheduled it in better. But,
yeah, you should have had somebody. Yeah, I can get divorced next March.
Yeah, exactly. Save the date. Yeah, it was.
Dark, shallow humor going on in here.
It was
challenging. If you can't laugh about divorce, what can you laugh about?
It's good material. Well, it is good material. I mean, it's a challenging time, I suppose. So I had a few years of feeling a little bit in limbo. But, you know, I mean, I love writing songs, love being a musician. I did a lot of writing with other people, which I learned a lot from, but I didn't enjoy that much. Jesse and I did a Mount Desolation album, which was really fun, and took us a disproportionately long time to finish, write and finish. But then after we'd done that, I kind of, I think I had a delayed reaction to all the sort of the heartbreak, and it wasn't really until about 4 or 5 years afterwards that maybe 4 years afterwards that the song started to come out in a way that was really articulating all that experience. And did a lot of writing around that, and eventually ended up, through lack of anything else to do, I'd kind of thought, oh, I'll put these into a solo album, but I I kind of lost confidence in the project and ended up playing the songs to Tom and the other guys, and then things just rolled on from there.
Was it easy to come back together and just start singing over these new songs?
Yes, it was, because I was so drawn to them. I think there was such kind of vulnerability in the songs, particularly the original ones that were on this solo album that Tim started with. I was so drawn to it.
Were you connecting to what was going on with him?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, both of us had clearly been through a very difficult time, so I connected on that level. But also just knowing all the personnel that have been in his life that the songs were about, you know, whether it's his ex-wife or the kids, it felt very personal to me. I mean, we've all grown up together. Mm. So it felt like it was something I could really sing about. But also, yeah, I think just knowing that Tim had these songs and didn't feel confident of having a way of getting them out there and wanting to be there as a sort of friend and a musician to help him do that, which is obviously inevitably going to be a Keane record.
We've only heard, I think, one single so far. I haven't heard the full album yet. So maybe you could give us a little bit of a clue as to what to expect on this album, because you've experimented with stuff in the past, I know, sonically. Originally, it was really very much about the piano, and then at some point guitar sort of came into the mix as well. But what's this album going to sound like?
We've always tried to change from album to album, you know, in the manner of our heroes, I suppose. This one has got some extremes, I think. You know, there's some super kind of intimate piano-y moments, some really atmospheric stuff, but also some stuff that I think is more kind of pop influenced. We're always trying to listen to what's on the radio and learn from it. So I think you can feel some of those influences, and in amongst that, there's all the stuff that we've been influenced by and accumulated over many years.
So you've just been in the States doing some promo, which this is a part of, obviously, getting ready to set this up. You were telling me that you're not back here touring until March. So what's going on for the rest of the year? I'm presuming Europe?
UK. Yeah, Latin America has always been a pretty thrilling adventure for us. So we put that sort of fairly near the top of our list of places to go. So we're going there in November. And then, yes, back for the States next year.
And how does it feel? How does it feel getting the band back together, mate?
It feels good, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing that's taken me most by surprise is kind of rediscovering the old music and it kind of having a freshness that it would never have had otherwise. You know, you're playing songs you haven't played for 7 or 8 years. Fans haven't heard them for that long. So sort of together in the shows, there's just this kind of very positive energy, which is really exciting. And, you know, feels like starting again, which is a curious thing.
Well, we look forward to hearing the album when it's out, and I'm sure we'll be playing a few songs from it. And then you guys will be back in the spring to tour, so we look forward to seeing you then. It's great to see you guys. I always appreciate it when you find the time to come in and play a few songs for us. And at this point, we just sort of catch up on, you know, divorce and, you know, addiction and, you know.
What will be the next stage?
And, well, death. Death, obviously. Yeah.
A little harder to get that on the radio.
Yeah. Gratitude, I think, is a good one to work with. So Tom, Tim, Jesse and Richard, thanks for coming in. You're going to wrap it up with one more song, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to do a song called Love Too Much, which is a very amusing video for, if people want to go and check it out. Yes, it features us in various ridiculous costumes. I won't give too much more away than
that. No, well, it's radio, but you're already conjuring up images, so we'll hit the Google for that. Keane on the Nick Harcourt Show. It's 88.5 FM. You're going to take us out with this. Thanks, guys.
Just give us a call, mate. Okay.
Only want to say that I gave it all I had, that I felt afraid and I didn't step back. Whether right or wrong, I did everything with love. Felt it all, gave it all, drank it up. And we make mistakes, and they make us what we are. And we jump right in and throw open our hearts. And we catch a glimpse of something magical. Want it all, take it all, got it all. Then we love too much, or we push too hard, or we fly too high, or we go too far. For a moment I was all that you could see. For a moment I was all that I could be. And nothing can take that away from me. Nothing can take that away from me. And our purest dreams steal something from our lives. They can only live because something else dies. But they lift us up and they make us walk so tall. Got it all, got it all, got it all. Then we love too much, or we push too hard, or we fly too high, or we go too far. For a moment I was all that you could see. For a moment I was all that I could be. And nothing can take that away from me. Nothing can take that away from me. Nothing can take that away from me. No, nothing can take that away from me. And the purest dreams, well, they make us feel so high. When you're falling down is when you feel most alive. Whether right or wrong, you do everything with love. Feel it all, give it all, drink it up. Then we love too much, or we push too hard, or we fly too high, or we go too far. For a moment I was all that you could see. For a moment I was all that I could be. And nothing could take that away from me. Nothing can take that away from me. Take that away from me. Nothing can take that away.